Amen.
All right, dear Lord, thank you for today. Let us rejoice in this day. Let us come unto you and stay with you and be with you and take you everywhere we go and not go anywhere like Moses, not go, refuse to go anywhere without you, Lord. Yes, that is what our prayer is, Lord. And may it, as we know that when we go with Jesus, Jesus is a magnet for the world. And he said he will draw all men to him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that promise. And we're claiming every moment of it. And be because you are the blessing in our lives, and you are the blessing we always esteem to, aspire to. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, I got two versions of the scripture, and I'd like to read both of them. Here's the Amplified version. Genesis 50, chapter 50, verse 21, from the Amplified Bible. Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for and support you and your little ones. And he comforted them, imparting cheer, hope, strength, and spoke to their hearts kindly. Now this is from the New International Version. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And reassured them and spoke kindly to them.
Mm. Amen. Thank you so much. And Melissa, that is, I would say, what you prayed was the theme of the songs that are for this morning. Isn't God good? That is awesome. So receive that. Receive that of him. I take that as a confirmation. Amen.
This is the giving time, which seems to be one of our favorite times, isn't it? Because the Lord gives us so abundantly, and we can't outgive him. So, Lord, we just thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for all your abundant blessings. We just ask that we would be obedient in giving what you ask us to give. And we just thank you and praise you and worship your holy name. Amen.
When Chris, at the offering time, said, "This is one of our most joyous times," I saw a picture of Jesus, and he smiled from ear to ear with a grin, and he said, "It's mine too."
Thank you. Just like last week, remember how we had forgetfulness? With the signs and this and that and the other, and I forgot the slides, and we had all the problems with the sound and all this. Okay, we did better this week. God has. Okay.
And now, okay. So we did better this week, and we think it might be recording. Last week it was recording. Remember how it looked like it was recording? It was recording background, but it looks like it might be recording the service this week. So we prayed and anointed this whole home. We anointed all the doorways and anointed even the toys and stuff in the children's room. We anointed, Pastor Janet prayed, and her assignment was this room, and she prayed over the sound equipment anointed. I anointed the wire. I need to anoint it more powerfully next Tuesday because that's the one thing that still is not. I mean, we got this going, but it's still a blank on the screen, the laptop. So Debbie did a wonderful job, huh? I mean, doing it. I was like on the last one when Pastor Jenna went back to the course. I looked at her and go, "You're good," because she went right back. So that was good. So it takes talent there. But the one thing I forgot was my tithes and offering check. And then, Paul, what did you forget again? Oh, yeah, the canned goods. You know how sometimes we remember, forget? But you know what? God knows that. God knows our heart, that we mean to do well. So I will get that to, you know, hopefully Debbie this week. And then, like, next week, you know, have you ever seen us double or triple our canned good offerings because we forget here and there? Our heart means well, but God understands that. And so it's more the heart where you're at. And then when you do remember, if you have those moments like we do, and then, you know, God understands. And then just bring it when you can. But isn't this awesome? This is yours, Lord. So we come before you, Lord, and we just truly, truly thank you. Everything is from you. And we thank you and praise you for this wonderful time of being obedient to you, Lord God, knowing that in our obedience comes blessings. So these are your tithes and offerings as we've listened to the Holy Spirit and been obedient, Lord. And I thank you and praise you, Lord God, that even 10% of these non-designated tithes and offerings go to missions around the world. I truly thank you and praise you for your precious holy word. I thank you and praise you for the good news that we can spread to others, Lord God. May we continue. May every part of this be used in ways well-pleasing to you. May we have the utmost integrity because you know that's our heart. And Lord, may this be just multiplied and be used for your glory, and that, as you know, our desire is to be that pathway of hope, to share the light that you have provided for everybody, that light for our path as we're on this journey, Lord God, and that it is filled with all your promises. May we be the salt for you, and may this be used in order to continue to help us to be that, a church that glorifies you, a body that glorifies you. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. There you go. Thank you for smiling, too. That was awesome. I like that. So I had something kind of happen to me on the prayer night. And God kind of changed things up. And so I go, oh, okay, Lord. And so I just want to share with you what happened was, remember, we're doing the word receive, right? And so today we will go on to I. And I, when I was thinking of the Ackermans back in December and praying, and when God was giving me some things, and I go, oh, wow, okay. And I was getting like, include the Lord in everything, which we should. He should be Lord and master of our life. And so he should be included in everything, correct? But God changed that up on Tuesday night. And in that, we will need to include him in everything, but what he just kept impressing me. In fact, I told him I had gotten my hair cut again after being sick for so long and colored, because I want to color that gray. And so so I finally got to go, and then I had the appointment. And after the appointment, when I was, all of a sudden I started feeling, because I was going to be on my way to here for the prayer night, and I started feeling this tingling, I don't know how to describe it, on my shoulders. And sometimes it was like going down my back, but it was really on my shoulders, just all the way across. And so I was like, whoa, I was just kind of, and it didn't leave. It was kind of there, sometimes a little bit stronger than other times, as I'm praying and as I'm coming here, preparing for Tuesday night. And for a while here, I was, other people were running a little bit late, and so I kind of was here alone for a little bit, and then I just felt it strong. And then we got into our prayer time, and then we went around anointing. And then when I had gotten done a little bit earlier than others with the anointing, and I was down on my knees, and I was praying, and then all of a sudden it was just really heavy that God said, no, it's impartation. And I knew that he meant to speak on impartation, and I knew something was up. And so I just thought, wow, Lord, okay. So I just started looking into that. And so I was like, you know, as like on our song today, Near the Cross, Pastor Janet had said, hey, you know, when she was praying about, Lord, what to do for the worship, she got near the cross, and she goes, Pastor Karen, do you want me to do that for the offering time, or do you have a different? And I go, no, go for it. You know, use that. I said it in a little bit nicer way instead of just go for it. And but I said yes. You know, use that. And so she did. But I thought, wow. You know, see what Jesus gave to us. He imparted the fullness of the Lord to us. So when we continuously, every day we should remember what he did for us at Calvary. Every day we should be remembering and thanking him and praising him for the blood he shed on the cross, for our redemption through him, and what we have had imparted to us through what Jesus did, which is the fullness of God. In fact, one of my favorite scriptures that I had memorized is Colossians 1, 19 through 20. And I had memorized the NIV version, and when I looked up in the book of the history of hymns, and I, you know how I like to look to it, for it had that as the reference, the scripture reference. And I want to remind you guys, you know, it's for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, in Jesus Christ, and to reconcile all things unto himself, whether things in heaven or things on earth, by the blood, by making peace through the blood that was shed on the cross. And it was like, wow, Lord, that was so cool. So when we see in that one, the first verse is free to all, a healing stream. Constantly, there's a healing stream. He gave that to us. He gave us love and mercy, which we need is love and mercy each and every day. And we need that bright morning star. Remember the one hugging, you know, the worship song? And it's like it's hugging, and it says it sheds its beams around me in the second verse. So we're being hugged by the Lord if we allow him. He doesn't force himself on us. He have you ever seen a child and you want to hug them, but they don't want to hug from you? That doesn't go well, does it? And so God wants to impart his love to us. He wants us to be willing to allow him to hug us. And so it's like, wow, Lord, I'm amazed at how he has imparted so much for us to help us, because he knows this journey is not going to be easy. But he goes, that's why I'm with you. And just like the third verse, it says, near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadows o'er me. Well, remember the rod? If we're in the Word and we're wanting to not just listen to the Word and let it go by the wayside, if we're really wanting to apply it and asking God to impart what he wants through the Holy Spirit, that empowerment, that grace empowerment that he gives as the Holy Spirit continues to teach us all things and guide us into all the truth. But we have to be willing. And it only is then that we can have, as one of the versions for the rod, is that life support, like bread. That's why the Word of God is also talked to as the bread. And Jesus is talked to as the bread of life, one of his names. So I was like, wow. And just seeing this, because Fanny Crosby wrote this and publicized it in 1869. Did any of you know how many hymns she wrote? Ooh, you're good. 8,000. Isn't that crazy? What an anointing. I mean, it's a good crazy, you know. And so it's like, wow, praise God, 8,000. Mm-hmm. Well, it's because God imparted this gift to her. And she allowed to receive that gift and continue to walk in that gift and bless many lives with that gift, who then, if they're willing to, receive that impartation through worship in those songs. I mean, I don't know about you, but did you feel? Yeah. Did you feel? Because see, God doesn't want to just impart to us so we keep it ourselves. No. He wants to impart to us so we will share the impartation that he has given us to others. But we have to include him in everything. So I was looking up, and in the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, okay, it doesn't say impartation, but I knew what God was speaking to me. And so when you look up in the King James Version, there's only four times that it's talked about. But what they do often is the other meanings of what impartation really means about. In the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, the one that you see is the Hebrews word. I think it's kalak or something like that, kalak. And it's used in Job 39:17. Now this is used in not in a way that it's taken away. See, it says to apportion or to separate, to distribute, to give, but or to receive. But it also means to take away a portion. So in this one, in Job chapter 39, it is talking about an ostrich. God's giving just different examples, and he says, because God deprived her, an ostrich, of wisdom and did not endow with her understanding. So he's, and earlier in the verses, this is verses, I think it starts at verse 13, and then I think it goes to 18 or 19, I think it was, about the ostrich. You know, you have some different things. And so what he was saying is, like, the ostrich is like, was not given any wisdom or understanding, because, man, this bird, it just kind of lays its eggs and lets it kind of like the dust. Well, whatever warmth you can get from that, good luck. And then it just kind of like ignores it. Like any beast, wild beast it talks about in the scripture, can crush it. You know, anybody could step on it and crush it. So it's like, hello. And then, but God, for his purposes, he did not bestow. He took away wisdom. He did not allow to have wisdom and understanding. And then when the babies, if they make it through all of this and get enough warmth and incubate and don't get crushed on or stepped on, you know, then she treats them very mean, as if they're not hers. Wow. See, we need God's wisdom. We need God's understanding in order to impart to others his love. Have we not seen some parents who have not willing to receive that in order to impart that to their children? See, if they're not continually to be filled, because it's not easy to raise children, and if you're not in continuing to be filled, imparted with his wisdom, with his understanding, with his strength, with his guidance, then it's not easy to continue to lovingly raise your children. So then you see some results of parents maybe disciplining out of anger instead of out of the core meaning being love. Then you had, there was three other verses from the King James Version with impart, and that was Luke 3:11, Romans 1:11, and 1 Thessalonians 2:8. And this meaning is from, I won't pronounce the word, a Greek word, and it says to give over, to share, to give, impart. And then it was taken from denoting accompaniment. And then it's also taken from to give, bestow, bring forth, commit, deliver, give, grant, make, I like this one, minister, offer, have power, put, receive again, set, and shew or show. So it's like, wow, this the power of this word, to give or to impart, takes the fullness of God, and that's what he's given. So listen to what this word says. I'm going to read from the Amplified. And he replied to them, Luke 3:11, he who has two tunics, undergarments, let him share with him who has none, and he who has food, let him do it the same way. I know of somebody just recently who blessed somebody with something because they had something extra and clothing-wise. And then I know of, like, you know, how we are doing with, it says non-perishable food items, but remember, we can give them clothing too. And then sometimes we bless, like, Eagle's Wings of Grace and the Miracle Center with clothing, and we can do that. And so it's just really nice that we are helping others. I know I've loved my hand-me-downs when I've gotten them, and you've seen me wear hand-me-downs to all the time. I love it. And it's like, thank you, God, because that helps with the management of money, but these are even to help others. I was thankful with raising my kids. I got so many hand-me-downs. And I even got hand-me-downs with stains on it and stuff, but I used that for their play clothes because I was so thankful for the hand-me-downs because the budget was so tight when they were young and trying to raise them. So I was very thankful, you know, for even maybe imperfect hand-me-downs because they did the job and they helped. And then that way, the very few things that I had that were nice, I could keep it for like Sunday or special things. And they didn't have to wear them. And so I was like, wow, Lord. But, you know, in the Luke 3:11, one of the ways that they say the impart or is share, like as the Amplified, give as the New King James Version, and then other versions say share and give. And then, but it's the King James Version that says impart. So you see the different terms that they're using. Romans 1:11, for I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. That's the New King James Version. And then the Amplified, it says, for I am yearning to see you, that I may impart and share with you. So it's using both of the descriptions of that word, the definitions. And share with you some of the spiritual gifts. Well, I like this. To strengthen and establish you. Once again, receiving that impartation is not to keep it to yourself, but to share. He shares with us. He gives to us. He imparts to us so we can then share and impart to others. It's like, wow, thank you, Lord. And remember, four square, to stand firm, to edification, to remember that, to build and strengthen. So when he's helping us to be built and strengthened up, it's not just for ourselves. It's to help others around us. Thank God it helps us too. But it's to help others. It's like that is how powerful his love is. And then we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, the New King James Version says, so affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. See, it wasn't just for themselves what they were getting from the Lord. It was to impart to others, to share with others, as some of the other versions are using, share and then imparted. But it's like, wow, Lord. See, I was looking up in the dictionary and online, and the Webster's Revised and Abridged Dictionary, published in 1913, it says, impartation, it is a noun, the transmission of information, imparting, conveyance, transmission, communicated by the means transmitted signals, giving the imparting of news or promises. And I thought of Jeremiah 33:3, and instantly came upon Jeremiah 33:3 right away. And I was like, wow, Lord. In Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, the Amplified, it says, call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things, fenced in and hidden, which you do not know. Do not distinguish and recognize, have knowledge of and understand. And the New Living Translation says, I will tell you remarkable secrets. The CEV version says, I will answer and reveal to you wondrous secrets. And then the ERV says, I will tell you important secrets. You have never heard these things before. Have you ever read the word, and you've read, you know, the Bible, and all of a sudden, I don't remember that. I don't remember even seeing that. Wow. It's like as if you've never really heard it before, because it wasn't the time for the Holy Spirit to reveal that, an important secret. That revelation was not needed at that other time, but it was there. It was in there because you read it earlier. But then it's like all of a sudden, he had given you a hearing aid that tuned into the right transmission, And it heard what God wanted you to hear right then. Because when we look at John 16, 13 through 15, if you would go to that with me, please, I would appreciate it. I was going to just paraphrase, but I really feel I need to go over it again, word for word. John chapter 16, verse 13 through 15. See, the Holy Spirit knows the radio frequency that we need at certain times, and he'll change it as he's following the Lord's will for our lives. As we're wanting Jesus Christ to be Lord and Master of our lives, and we're wanting to be in that perfect will, so at his perfect timing, as he says in John 14:26, he will teach us all things and remind us of everything Jesus has taught us. So, but then as we look at John chapter 16, verse 13 through 15, it says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and then declare it to you. Because remember, everything that's the Lord's is now Jesus's, and then Jesus now imparts it to the Holy Spirit to impart to us according to God's will. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. He, the Holy Spirit, will impart to us if we are willing to receive. Are we willing to receive? Sometimes, have you been willing to receive that? Sometimes, do we want to, like, kind of wallow in a self-pity party and not receive that comfort? The see and receive comfort. He's there. He wants to console us. He wants to comfort us so we can also console and comfort others. But are we always willing to receive it? Sometimes we want to wallow in our pity party and not really receive it. Sometimes we don't want to receive the impartation that God will give us the grace and the empowerment to go on when he's saying, you know what? You need to bless your enemy. You need to forgive them. And it isn't, you've heard many stories of when a person steps into that and chooses to forgive and chooses to bless an enemy, that grace and that empowerment comes in. But we're not going to receive that impartation of that if we're not willing to be obedient to his word when it says to forgive, 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 and to bless, 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 and to pray for. And to pray for everybody, to pray for our enemies. It's not an easy thing. I totally and completely admit it. I have had to apologize to some people that I wish I never had made the mistake in the first place. And it was so humbling to have to bring myself to the point of apologizing. I have had people been rude to me and so mean to me. And I had that job, and Debbie remembers, and Pastor Janet Steph, when the Bible study, and y'all remember the Bible study, and I was revealing, you know, about what was going on. But God was not releasing me from that job. And God kept saying, you know, stay there, stay there. I was not being released. And people were saying untruths to me about me. They were saying mean things about me. When I first had started that job, my boss had said, Karen, when you came here, a light came. And it was like, praise God, because I was claiming Philippians 2, 12 through 16 a lot. And it talks about that. No complaining. You will be that light in this dark, perverse world. And I was praising God. And I constantly was just working and helping others. And as these people got really bad, I continued to bless. And people would see me. People would see me helping them when they wouldn't help me. And they were still telling lies and talking behind my back. Sometimes they were treating me mean in front of even other people. And it was not easy. I would be crying on my way to work saying, God, help me to love the unlovable. Help me to continue to forgive. And it'd be really great if you could move them on, and or me on. But you know what, Lord, you know, just help me in the midst of it. It was not easy, but until I was willing to do that, I didn't receive that impartation of the strength and the empowerment to continue on. Did I have to rely on him day after day? Oh, you bet I did, because it continued. There was one day a week where I had a blessed day when several of those people were not there. But most of the time, I had to deal with it. And then later, hearing of some of the lies, and I was like, wow, Lord, seriously. But I continued on. Because, Lord, at one point in time, helped take care of one of the lies and revealed the truth and allowed some others to see that truth. And so it was like, thank you, Lord. But sometimes it wasn't. But you know what? I continued on because I'm not saying I was perfect. I'm not saying I was, okay? And I'm not saying on a lot of things I'm not perfect. I'm just giving this example. But I just kept being obedient to God. One time when it was so bad and Paul said, you know, he goes, well, then quit. And I go, really? You heard from God? And he goes, no. And I go, man. So then I was in the Word again saying, Lord, please, you know, I want to quit this job so bad. You know what's going on. And then he, in my devotion time, he spoke to me. He showed me. He imparted revelation to me. Karen, stay there. Because I'm working some things out. And he was building me up. So I was like, okay, well, sometimes we don't always like the revelation that we get when he imparts, but we still need to be willing, because really true disciples are ones that are willing to truly want to learn. And sometimes in that learning, it's not easy to swallow what you're needing to learn. And so it's like, or it's not easy to continue on or to do what you've heard. But see, if we really have truly discipleship teaching hearts, then we're willing to hear any revelation that the Lord speaks to us, whether it's pleasing to the ears or not so pleasing. In looking on, continuing, it's in the Noah's Webster's 1828 dictionary. It says, to give, to grant, to communicate, to bestow on another a share, a portion of something, as to impart a portion of provisions to the poor. So we know the scriptures of alms. Remember Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, and he was a man who feared God and who was well known for his alms. He did not hoard his wealth to himself. He was well known of giving alms, and he was crying out to God, and God said, okay, I need this gentleman to know Jesus. And so it was then that he used Peter. Peter then being willing to be imparted wisdom. And it was not easy for him to hear. He's like, you want me to go to who? And you want me to tell them what? Because, you know, we at the end, the culture, Jewish people did not talk to the Gentiles. It was not right. He was going, excuse me? And he imparted to him this revelation through a vision when he was praying to God. So have you ever had that? Sometimes all of a sudden you just get an idea, or you think of somebody, and he's imparting that because he wants you to follow through with that, not to just sit there. And even though it didn't make sense, Peter, being willing to be a disciple, going, man, okay. And see, God hearing and seeing the heart. Remember one of our scriptures, 2 Corinthians 16:9, and it said that the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro, seeking whose heart truly is devoted to him, and he will go there and strengthen them and support them strongly. And so he saw this man fearing him and devoted to God and his ways and being great at alms. And then he said, but you know what he needs now? To know Jesus, my Lord and Savior. So he goes, man, remember, Jesus crossed all culture barriers. And so he was now calling his disciples to do the same thing. See, when we're out there in a light, we're not to judge others. We're just to love others and continue to forgive. And it's not easy, but we need to receive that impartation for the empowerment as we obey. That's when the empowerment comes. And that's what he saw. And then Cornelius and his whole household was saved. Then Peter has to go back and explain to him, you went where and you did what? And then he shows to them and tells them everything that happened. And they knew, because the Holy Spirit was imparting to them the revelation and the understanding that they all needed, that God is calling this salvation not to be only for the Jews, but for everyone. And they were to cross those cultural barriers. But they were willing to receive that impartation and then act on that, not keeping it to themselves. And then I was thinking of to make one of the other dictionary its definition says to make known, disclose, persuade, to impart the secret. I was thinking of Psalm 119, verses 97 through 104, and it says, I'll be, in verse 98, it says, I'll be wiser than my enemies. I will understand more than the ancients. It's when we're in this word that we get much revelation, understanding, wisdom, knowledge. There is not one thing that we cannot find the answer to through the power of prayer, through the power of reading His Word, as we are submitted to be imparted by the Holy Spirit according to God's will, God's way, God's timing, to reveal and answer us. But we have to be willing. And we have to be willing to receive whatever that answer may be. And it's not always easy. And then, and it goes on to, as I've said, you know, to pass on, to transmit in parts. But I loved it. It said a forward motion. See, if we're not willing to receive the impartation, we're not going to continue to have that strength to continue to go on. That's why it's not a, just a one-time. Salvation wasn't just one time and then I'll go and do whatever I want. It's salvation is to have Him, it says, my Lord and Savior. So in order to have the Lord, He has to be your master. You have to be willing to constantly be imparted. Receive the impartation you have in and through Him to continue on. That's why Philippians 3, 13 through 14, when the Apostle Paul says, he goes on, he says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, I forget what lies behind, I forget those things which are behind. And he goes, and reaching forward to those things, to what lies ahead, I press on, in verse 14, toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus. See, he knew it's not easy. It takes discipline. And it takes us to continue to surrender ourselves of wanting to sit back and relax and not get that marathon, win it, get that crown. We're like, man, you died for me, so that's good. And he's saying, I died for you to continue to receive the impartation I have for you each and every day. I have so much for you. And I know this race is not easy. Because, man, can you imagine how tiring that is? I mean, we hear of 50Ks, but can you imagine running around the world? I mean, I'm just teasing, but but our journey can sometimes feel like it's impossible. There's no way I can do this run. And he's saying, you know what? I got it covered. I know you can't on your own, but I have the impartation. That is why my son, I had my beloved son die for you. And his blood was shed for you. See, you're supposed to be wearing that mantle of his blood every day. And that's when you take it off, you're not amid the impartation that he has for us. You're not abiding in him. And he wants you to abide in him so that he knows one day you'll receive that crown. But you know what? Just as Jesus came to serve and not be served, the glory will be so awesome that we will be taking that crown and laying it before the throne. Because we will be so blessed with what we've received. And we will be so thankful. And he's saying, I have so much for you. See, one thing that's awesome is that his impartation is not as he did to the ostrich of a taking away. His impartation is that of constantly bestowing to us so that we can share and give to others. So we can impart. As we receive that impartation, we can impart to others. But are we willing to walk in that? Are we willing to talk in that? You know, another one, it says, and it says to transmit or serve as a medium for transmission. Sound carries well over water. See, what I'm talking about is the ears. John chapter 7, verses 37 through 38. Do you remember that? It talks about, now on the final and most important day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried in a loud voice, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, who cleaves to, trusts in, and relies on me, as the scriptures have said, from his innermost being, out of his heart is one of the versions, and then from his heart is another, will flow from within is another, out of his belly is another translation, shall flow continuously springs and rivers, streams of living water. And it is by that power, the impartation, when we're willing to take and receive what his precious word says and start believing it, claiming it. Remember, our body is made up of a whole bunch of water. And in that water takes the power of his word, and it's doing the healing, as that one interpretation talks about in the song. See, we can constantly have and experience that peace that only comes from him, a peace that surpasses all understanding. It's not like the world gives, but it's when we're constantly willing to receive the impartation and walk in the impartation and talk the impartation. Did you see how I put walk first and then talk? Because see, it's really, we need to really emphasize the doing, not the speaking. Isn't it true? You know, it's easy to say, do as I say, not as I do. It's not easy to walk in that impartation because it takes humility. It takes knowing that as you're running for that crown in the marathon race and you're forgetting what lies behind, knowing that you get that crown, you're going to lay it down. It's like, yeah, Lord. In John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, Jesus says, so Jesus said to those Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, hold fast to my teachings and live in accordance with them, you are truly my disciples. If you abide in my word, if you abide in my word. In other words, one of the translations says, if you remain faithful to my teachings, if you continue to in my word, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It will make you free, is another translation. And it's because it constantly is helping you to be free. And when people see you just living out liberty and freedom that you've been given through Jesus, they're going to see that and they're going to go, what do you have? And as the world gets darker and darker and darker, and you continue to be willing to be imparted and imparted and imparted and walking in an impartation and talking then impartation and claiming then impartation and praying then impartation, you will be brighter and brighter. Because that is what it's about. Because we are wanting to be transformed into his image, into his likeness. I want to let you know something, a little secret. Guess what? Jesus wasn't liked by everybody either. A perfect man, without sin, pure, in truth. So I just want to prepare you, even though you're receiving that impartation, walking in that impartation, and talking that impartation, and praying that impartation, and meditating on that impartation, not everybody is going to like you. But yet, you know that it's not for them, it is for him that you are pleasing. You are here for him. And then, as you are here for him, just as Jesus was, he was there for all. And that's who he wants to. For this sphere of influence that he has, he wants us to continue to impart what we receive of his impartation. Just as he, Jesus, received the impartation from the Lord God and that strength and empowerment of the Holy Spirit to go on and do what he had to do to sacrifice. May we not waste what he did for us. There are so many other definitions, so many ways. I love one of them. It says to disclose. That reminds me once again, imparting that truth, guiding us into all the truth. There are many scriptures, and it talks about how they were given the granted to impart and lay hands on others to impart the spiritual gifts that the disciples were given. And it's like they were doing it not for themselves, but for others. And so I just want to just share with you a couple. And then it says, that in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4, besides this evidence, it was also established and plainly endorsed by God, who showed his approval of it by signs and wonders and various miracles, manifestations of his power, and by imparting the gifts of the Holy Spirit to believers according to his own will. It wasn't for them, it was to spread on to others. And then it goes on to say that in Hebrews 10:29, how much worse, sterner and heavier punishment do you suppose he will be judged to deserve, who has spurned and thus trampled underfoot the Son of God, and who has considered the covenant blood by which he was consecrated common and unhallowed, thus profaning it, and insulting and outraging the Holy Spirit, who imparts grace, the unmerited favor and blessing. Why does he do that? So that we can go on and continue to be and do what God wants us to be and do for his glory, not for ours. And I loved it because the disciples, they laid their hands onto others. I love Acts 8:18. It says, however, when Solomon saw that the Holy Spirit was imparted, was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he brought money and offered it to them. See, he thought he could buy that. And you can't buy it as a gift, but it takes humility. It takes being willing to say, Lord, I want you to be Lord and Master of my life, and I need to receive the impartation. But often that you would see that the establishing disciples and imparting new strength to them. It says in Acts 18:23, it gave us a new strength. And they would often, you would see them imparting as they laid hands onto others. They were given that gift. And then it says that with the word of God, we need to remember that this impartation is, as I've said, not just for ourselves, but for others, as we've seen in the apostles. But how do you do that? Paul shared something one time when he was talking about when I said the word was received for us. And he says, well, like in a wedding, you know, at a wedding, and then you have the receiving line, right? And what are you doing when you're going by? You are blessing them, and you're saying, wow, and I'm congratulations, and may you be blessed, and may you be happy, and then you give them gifts, and they open it, and what are they doing? Well, are they willing to just like, oh, now I don't want to talk to you? No, they're receiving it because they're excited and they're happy. Well, what should we be? Aren't we the bride of Christ? And shouldn't we be the spotless bride of Christ? We should, as we continue to humble our hearts, right? It's not for us. And don't you love seeing a newlywed couple? You know, it's like so cute. You know, they're all just lovey-dovey. And the honeymoon hasn't been over. But see, God is saying that, I want you to live in the honeymoon state every day. I have continual impartation of the wedding line, the reception line, and like the bride of Christ. And he's saying, man, you are the bride of Christ. And my son covered everything. My whole fullness is in him. And it is yours through the Holy Spirit, who is transmitting to you, who is turning on when you're willing for him to change the channels and receive it. And even when it's not easy news, and even when it takes you to repent and to turn away and to resist what looks good and sounds good and isn't good. And he's saying, I have the perfect groom for you. I have the perfect celebration, and you'll go there one day. But he says, right now, I've got this fullness. You need to be a happy bride of Christ for me. And for my glory. And we need to be willing to receive that. I want you to be happy each and every day that you are called the bride of Christ because of what my son did for you. I have so much impartation. And as you include me in every area of your life, that impartation will continue to flow for each and every area. But if you're willing to close off different areas, that impartation cannot get in there. Because I need to be Lord and Master of your life. But I'm willing. I am there. I'm ready and able. God knows that we've been attacked, not only individually, but as a church family. But see, he has something special for us. There is an impartation we're going to receive today. to go on. And when I was asking, Lord, how do you want to do that? I knew that I needed to anoint you with oil, but then I was like, okay, Lord, I felt like what I'm going to do is I'm going to anoint Pastor Janet, I'm going to anoint Chris, and I'm going to anoint Dick, because they're of the prayer altar ministry, and then they are going to continue to anoint all of us. As I believe, I'm switching it up a little bit, but I think I need to do something, okay? I'm sorry, I didn't, but I really need to feel that I need to be praying right now while they're doing that. So I'm anointing them to then be on assignment, just like, you know, you had the disciples, right? And they laid on hands, blessed the others, prayed for, they were imparted the gift, and then they went on. And I need to do that, but I need to be praying during this time because I know that there is a huge impartation for us to continue on. And then I will read the benediction. So I'm going to grab this. Can you please come up and I'm going to use this oil. I love this oil from Bethlehem. I want you to play. Can you play music? Okay. Oh, I'll turn this off. Can I turn this off right now? Is that okay? And then I'll turn it back on.
God just told me that this is a special anointing. It's anointing from God and our senior pastor. The anointing from God comes through our senior pastor to us, but our senior pastor is also passing on an anointing to us. Her vision, her heart is being passed on to us.
So I'm going to pray over you this benediction, and then I have a couple announcements right before you leave. I was praying over, Lord, what benediction should I go to the numbers, which I usually go to, but I really felt I needed to do this. And so it's a little longer, so bear with me. And Ephesians chapter 1, verses 14 through 23. And it says verse 13, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He is the one that is imparting to you, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, because I know you guys do, I've seen it. And it says that, I'm sorry, I lost my place. I do not cease to give thanks for you, because I don't. Making mention of you in my prayers, because I do. I pray for you guys. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand and in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave to him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Lord God, I thank you and praise you, Lord God. And I thank you for this time, and I thank you that we have received your impartation, not only for our lives as a church body, part of the body of Christ around the world, but Lord, I also and thank you and praise you for your impartation as saying not only for Pathway of Hope, but for all that we will touch, because you've given us different lives to touch in our sphere of influence. And I thank you and praise you, Lord God. And I thank you and praise you for the lives that we are praying for, because we care for everyone. And as you put lives and people's names upon our hearts and minds, that we will have that wonderful power of prayer to be able to go to and intercede for them. Lord God, I thank you for your impartation of revelation in regards even for our prayer lives. Lord, I thank you for your love for us. And I thank you and praise you for Jesus being our Lord and Savior. I thank you and praise you that we are not alone. And may we always be joyful, that joyful, spotless bride of Christ, because we are constantly having you be Lord of our lives. Receiving your impartation, walking in your impartation, speaking your impartation, praying your impartation, meditating upon your impartation, and claiming your impartation. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.